Welcome to another edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Is all part of our Ask the Experts weekend on the panel today. We've got Aaron Burt and Nancy Heck. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Oh, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
I do it because
not the first time.
It was Joe Burt is always here.
I usually get Adam Burt. That's my brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Even for my parents, though. Can you imagine that?
Oh, no, I do imagine that, yes. I get called everything for my parents.
Sometimes they call me the cat.
We go down for Thanksgiving.
I have one kid, and I often will call her the dog's name.
Yeah.
They're all girls' names.
Yes. Oh, that's not, well. Is the dog's name a girl's name?
The dogs are girls. Yes.
Oh, okay. So at least that works. All right. Well, everybody, it is the same show at the same time, Saturday at 9 o'clock. But Aaron, just in case anybody may have joined us for the first time this morning, what can they call you about today?
Well, Nancy and I are here to talk about anything having to do with your personal finances. On Monday through Friday, you come into our office and we do personal financial planning for clients for a fee. But on Saturday morning, we are here to talk to you for free to answer your questions having anything to do with stocks or bonds or mutual funds or annuities or long-term health care or financial planning in general. Last week, we had a bunch of questions about Social Security and home refinancing and capital gains taxes and anything having to do with your pocketbook issues. And this is a big weekend for spending and budgeting and talking about stuff like that. So Nancy and I are here to take your call. So if you have a question, looks like the phone lines are pretty wide open. So please pick up the phone and dial us at
844-220-0965. 844-220-0965. We also have a text machine up and running as well, 21232. That is 21232. And we are not on Facebook Live this morning, so you can only get us by the phone or the text.
Yes.
Yes. But you can still go to facebook.com/certifiedfinancialgroup. Leave a message on the wall, we'll be able to see it.
You can watch the old episodes and pretend they're the current ones.
Yeah, there you go.
Or you can see that we all have some holiday spending tips that just got posted on our Facebook page on financialgroup.com.
There you go. And then not only that, financialgroup.com has all those tips and even more, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Our website is a vast library of information for people to go to. And we put all sorts of tips and tricks and all sorts of information out there, financialgroup.com. You can see Nancy and I smiling faces. You can schedule an appointment. You can sign up for our next workshops. There's all sorts of different stuff that you could do out there. So if you've never been on our website, financialgroup.com, check it out. And like I said, a lot of information out there for you.
All right, Nancy, let's kick it off with today's topic, 3 financial lessons you can learn from Thanksgiving.
Yes, okay. Number one is how to budget. If anybody hosts Thanksgiving dinner, they know that it can be expensive. It's actually thought of to be the most expensive meal of the year. So you need to know how many people to plan for, make sure that you have the ingredients, that you have, you know, all of the accoutrement that you need for that. And it's a lesson that you have to take into retirement also. We have an extremely extensive expense summary. It's been referred to as the blue form.
For years.
Yes. And we hand it to people when it comes to data gathering for planning, and they look at us and they groan, because when you think of expenses, often you think of your hardcore everyday expenses. When we're planning for retirement, we like to think of, when it comes to budgeting, every expense that you have to deal with.
Let's circle back on the blue form for a second, because we do cover basically every living expense that you could possibly imagine, all the way down to the termite bond. And before on the show, we have offered that out as a freebie. So if anyone is interested in getting a copy of that blue form, we can actually email it out to you. If you go to our website or just shoot us an email, plan@financialgroup.com. That's plan, P-L-A-N, @financialgroup.com. Just put blue form in the subject line. And if you want us to mail it to you, just give us your address. If you want to email, we'll just email it back to the email that you sent to us. So we will send you out that blue form.
And speaking of planning is a big part of the Thanksgiving dinner. We had a little tiny snafu with my husband and the turkey fryer this he was not really good on his planning, and everything else was done, and we had to wait 20 minutes, so... planning is really important, you know, for Thanksgiving, having the recipes and the time and the ingredients. And the same goes for your investment options. I mean, the investment options that are appropriate for you as you're accumulating and still working may not necessarily be the same investment options that you need when you're in retirement. So having a good solid plan, which is the cornerstone of what we do for our clients is extremely important. And the last thing I want to talk about with Sam visiting with us today is start 'em young. I have often said that holiday dinners, when everybody's happy and healthy, is a great time to talk about a lot of the life cycle events that you have to deal with. So when your kids and your grandkids are around and all that other stuff, it may be a good time to talk about how long you plan on working, where you plan on retiring, what type of succession things are in mind, who you want to take care of you if you get sick. Making all the life cycle financial decisions when everybody is happy and healthy, and you can discuss it with a clear mind.
Yeah, I will tell you that most of the time that is the number one thing that people don't want to talk about is their plans for if something were to happen to them, if they were in an accident, or if they need someone to come into the house and take care of them, who's going to do it, what their burial wishes are. No one ever wants to talk about those end-of-life things, and especially people probably don't want to talk about it at Thanksgiving. But it's the perfect time to do it because usually everyone's together as a family, and to make sure everyone's on the same page and has a clear understanding of what your wishes are, your parents' wishes are, whoever it is that you're actually talking about. It's so important, and it really no one ever wants to talk about it.
Exactly. And again, I think, you know, when there's not an event facing you and you have to make a decision right now, that's the time to have the discussions.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about it that those types of things, when the time comes to make the decision, usually it's too late because if you haven't planned ahead, especially with some of those legal documents that you have to have in place, if you don't plan ahead the time where it comes to need them, by then it's too late because you can't do it when it's actually needed. So those are the types of things that really require some forethought and some planning.
Yes. And those are my tips.
No, it sounds pretty good. I was trying to drop those down as fast as I could. But if we have more tips, you can always go to financialgroup.com. We had a caller call in and ask the benefits of paying off his mortgage, but he dropped off. But it's good to ask you that question to the panel just for him because he, for some reason, couldn't stay on the line. But what are some of the benefits of paying off your mortgage?
Well, certainly cash flow is number one. You know, if you pay off the mortgage, whether you're in retirement or nearing retirement, having that extra, whatever it may be, for some people it's, you know, $2,000 a month, some people it's less. You know, that's a huge burden off their minds. A lot of people want to be debt-free going into retirement. And the less that you have to worry about from a monthly nut to cover from an expense standpoint is important. There's other people that really could care less about paying off their mortgage. I mean, we're going into, people are getting prepared for tax season now. We're going to have new tax rules that everybody's filing under for 2018. But if you're in a position where you can still deduct your mortgage interest, it may be worthwhile to not pay off your mortgage. So I think it's more of a personal preference issue than it is an economic issue. But for some people, it definitely is an economic issue.
Yeah, I said the other thing no one wants to talk about, this is the one thing that everybody wants to talk about, and this is probably the number one question that I see people ask, should we pay off our mortgage? And to me, it always comes down to what's your interest rate. And where are you in that mortgage? Because if you're on the tail end of a 30-year mortgage, you're probably just paying principal for the most part because all the interest is front-loaded. Mm-hmm. So if you're just paying principal, to me it doesn't make sense from a financial point of view to go and prepay all that. However, if you have a high interest rate and you're on the front end of it, most people probably at this point don't have a high interest rate because most people refinanced. So, again, it depends on what your interest rate is and where you are in that mortgage. And where are you going to get the money to pay off the mortgage? I mean, that's one of the biggest mistakes we see is people want to cash out their retirement plans to pay off their mortgage so they don't have debt in retirement, and that's kind of a mistake.
And another option, I had this discussion with a couple in their mid-70s last week that still have a mortgage, is doing a reverse mortgage.
Yes, definitely.
So what I suggested for them was using the reverse mortgage to simply stop having to make their mortgage payments. They still would have to pay their taxes and insurance. They don't necessarily need to take cash out of the house, but if they have a reverse mortgage in place and an emergency occurs, then there's the money that they can take out and not have to repay. But it could help them from month-to-month cash flow simply by no longer having to make that mortgage payment through a reverse mortgage.
And for the listeners who don't know, a reverse mortgage is a lien against your home, but the where basically you open up a credit. Well, there's different ways to do it, but the one we see most often is where you open up a credit line against the value of your home, and it's based off of how old you are. The size of the credit line is based off of how old you are and where you live, so the value of your home. And that credit line is then able to be used for any sort of expenses, and you never have to pay that credit line back. Now, if you start tapping into it, it starts accruing interest, but the credit line is actually paid off when the home is sold, or if you leave the home, or if you pass away, then the home is sold by your beneficiaries, and the loan is then paid off, and whatever's left goes to your beneficiaries. If you're upside down on it, it's a non-recourse loan, which means that if the loan is worth more than what the house is, then you don't have to make up the difference. So it's an attractive option for those people who have a mortgage that don't want to either make payments anymore or people that want to tap into the equity of their home. Because like I like to say, if you pay off your home, the only way you're ever going to get money out of it is if you put another lien on it.
Right.
You can't go
right.
To your,
and most people think of taking a line of credit, which is a loan that they have to pay back. With the reverse mortgage, they do not. You have to be age 62 in order to apply for that.
To do a reverse mortgage?
Yes, and it is more beneficial, as Aaron said, the older that you are.
All right. Well, if you have any questions about that reverse mortgage or anything like that, you can give us a call right now at 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. We also have the text machine up and running as well at 21232. That is 21232. And not only does a certified financial group come in each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to broadcast right here on WDBO, they also hold workshops at their offices each and every weekend. And let's take a look at that calendar now. What do we got from the upcoming workshops?
We don't have it in front of us right now.
My bad. I threw him a curveball. It's okay. No worries. We'll call that what we call a radio tease, and we'll get to those on the other side. We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It is all part of our Ask the Experts weekend. We are here with Aaron Burt and Nancy Hecht, taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. And if you don't have the phone call capability today, you can go ahead and give us a text at 21232. That is 212-3232. All right, panel today, while we are waiting for everybody in Central Florida to give us a phone call with their questions, I know a lot of people are planning to retire in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nancy, what's the best way to start that? Would we be rolling over our 401k and our 403bs?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you need to have a financial plan in place and have that done to make sure that you are not going to outlive your dollars. But we want to make sure that if you're retiring that you do a direct transfer of your 401k, 403b, 457, whatever type of corporate retirement plan you have. You do not want the check coming to you. You want to open up a rollover IRA and have a direct transfer. If the funds come to you, your company is required to automatically withhold 20%. And if you can make up that 20% out of your pocket, then you can, within 60 days, replace it. But by simply doing a direct transfer to a rollover IRA, all the dollars that are in your 401k will move over.
And let me clarify something, too, because we help facilitate a lot of 401k rollovers. And you can have the check sent to your house, because that's normal. A lot of times that's how the 401k providers do it. However, you do not want the check made payable to your name. So normally you have to go to have an IRA already established, and then you have the check made payable to that IRA custodian, whether it be Fidelity or Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Vanguard or wherever it is that you plan on putting those dollars. The check ends up being made payable to them, made payable to Vanguard for the benefit of Joe Smith or whatever your name is. But then the check can be made payable to you, and then you have to go bring that check to that IRA custodian to have it deposited. So you can actually receive the check. You just can't have it made payable to you.
Right, right. Often it is sent to the address of record for the participant.
Right.
But, yes, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
No, it's fine.
So, yeah, so this is, and like Nancy said, this is an extremely busy time for people looking to retire. For some reason, people always want to retire at year end, and I don't – quite understand what the thought there is. I guess they want to start a new year fresh. But like Nancy said, I mean, this is the time before you go and turn in that letter of resignation or put in those retirement papers. It's extremely important that you have a plan in place to make sure that you got enough gas in the tank, as we like to say, to make sure that it's going to work. Because the worst cases that we run into are people that are 3 or 5 years into retirement and the wheels are falling off. They didn't factor in inflation or car purchases or the extra vacation and traveling they wanted to do, or all these different things that we look at as financial planners when we sit down with clients and talk to them about what they want to do. I mean, there's so many things that just aren't thought about. And if you do the back of the envelope financial planning, as we like to say, where you look at, oh, I'm going to get this much in Social Security and I got this much in my savings account, and yeah, I think it'll work. Those are the worst types of, if that's your plan for retirement, you need to go see a professional, because
you need to give us a call.
Because those are you got to do it now before you retire. Because like I said, 3 to 5 years from now, when the wheels start falling off and you got to make some drastic lifestyle changes, and you just gave up that big salary that you were earning, it's tough. So those are the worst types of situations that we run into.
And another end of year issue that we're dealing with is capital gains. A lot of, you know, mutual funds have to pay out the percentage of what their earnings are during the year, so they don't get taxed on it. So we're starting to get the declarations from the various different fund companies as to what their end-of-year capital gains are going to be. And oftentimes you can do some tax planning if you have some dogs in your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
You can match up the losses with the gains as long as it's long-term to long-term, short-term to short-term, and take the gains and maybe not pay taxes on the full amount.
Yeah, so tax loss harvesting, especially what's been going on since the end of September through October and November, this is a perfect opportunity to go through your portfolio, especially only in your non-qualified accounts, meaning not your retirement accounts, but your non-qualified accounts. You can go through those and start looking for things that may have losses and maybe take those losses now to offset the capital gains that may be paid into your portfolio come the end of the year, so you don't have to pay taxes on when your portfolio is down. It just kind of adds insult to injury sometimes.
Yeah, very, very good information here. If you have a question for the panel, it's 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. We still got 30 minutes left to go to the show till 10 o'clock today. Always excited to hear from you. So 844-220-0965. Text us as well, 21232. We just asked you to keep it to about 160 characters because that's all we could see on our screen. Again, 21232. Somebody's got a question asking Aaron, what's going on with the markets? What do you see? What do you see it doing next year? Just your thoughts. So
the crystal ball question.
Crystal ball question. I know you love
there
those. Those are your absolute favorite,
ball.
I know.
Oh, yes.
Well, why don't you get that out, plug it in, gas it up, do whatever type of power it happens to that crystal ball during the latest news, weather, and traffic, and we'll talk about that on the other side. Right here on News 96.5 WDBO, where we are continuing to plan tomorrow.
Today.
Certified Financial Group. Welcome back. This is On the Money with the Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. The show we help you get to that retirement finish line. And on the panel today, we have Aaron Burt and Nancy Hex, Certified Planning Professionals at the Certified Financial Group, here to take your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. And Nancy and Aaron, if anybody may have joined us during latest news, weather, and traffic, what can they call you about?
They can call us about any of their pocketbook issues, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, any of the things that are keeping them up at night as far as their long-term financial health goes.
All right, just like that. Again, 844-220-0965, or you could text us your question at 21232. That is 21232. Mary Beth has dialed us up this morning. Go ahead, Mary Beth. You're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My husband and I are about 5 years away from retirement, and we're fortunate to have what so far has been a very solid plan, and we remain on track with it.
Good.
What we're considering is whether we've got an old employer IRA that is separate from sort of our main retirement funds. And we were contemplating having our financial manager manage that as well, roll that over into our overall retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke with him about it, and he indicated we would absorb about a 2% hit on that total amount we would be transferring over. And I just can't figure out whether or not I think it will be worth it from a distribution standpoint. Once we reach retirement, it will be easier to access all of the funds if they're in one account.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if it's worth a 2% hit, and I'm looking for your advice.
Okay, so what you're talking about is rolling over a 401k or something like that into an IRA.
Correct.
Correct.
It sounds to me like that's some sort of annuity or something if it has a 2% hit to it.
It may, maybe not. So what they're talking about is the custodian is going to charge you the 2%. But I think it's worth it, and I think it's worth it for the peace of mind of having somebody, the person that you're working with right now, actively managing and paying attention to the assets that you have. We find for a required minimum distribution standpoint, it's much easier for our clients if everything is all in one place. You might want to ask your financial advisor if they might be willing to absorb a portion of the 2% for you. Is this somebody you're paying a fee to manage your assets for?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, maybe to have more assets to manage, they may be willing to absorb part of the 2% penalty for you.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of leaving dollars where you are no longer. So what I would suggest, if you were my client, is that you do roll it over into your IRA account, and then it'll make life easier from a management standpoint for you and for your advisor in the long run.
Great, great, very good. All right. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, Mary Beth.
You too. Bye-bye.
If you want Mary Beth's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny's got a question for the panel. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Yes. How you doing? I waited to take my Social Security after I'm 70.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have to worry about an income adjustment or whatever they do to reduce your premium.
Mm-hmm.
They just sent me a letter yesterday saying that they're deducting a certain amount for because my income was too high for last year, and I didn't have to worry about that after 70.
Well, you're 70 years old, and they are deducting a certain amount from your Social Security based off of your income.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I didn't think they was. Didn't do that.
Me either.
I'm puzzled.
Yeah, that's news to me.
Kenny, I would
love.
They call it, yeah, I would love to see.
Yeah, I'm going to call them first thing Monday. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just. They call it IRMAA.
IRMAA. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll try and look it up. What Kenny's referring to is if you take Social Security prior to retirement, there is an offset. And in the year that you reach full retirement age, depending on what your income is and when in the year you hit that full retirement age, there may be an offset. But by delaying like you have gotten an 8% increase, which is really nice. I think that's fantastic.
You know what I think that's referring to there, Kenny, is it has to not do with your Social Security benefit, but it has to do with your Medicare premium. So the IRMAA has to do, yes. So it's not your Social Security benefit that's going down. It's because you earned so much money, your Medicare premium went up. And because Medicare premiums are deducted from Social Security, therefore your Social Security benefit went down. So it's not that your
But I didn't think they even I thought that was the whole point of waiting.
No.
Before we terminate, so you wouldn't have to get a deduction.
No.
Now I'm getting hit with this.
And actually, there's two components of it, and what you're talking about is your Social Security benefit, and what Aaron's talking about is the Medicare portion that's paid from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, Medicare is means tested, which means that the more money that you earn, the higher your Part B premium is going to be. So, it's a completely separate thing. Unfortunately, Medicare premiums are deducted from Social Security.
I kind of see it now that, but I was just under the impression that wasn't any restrictions at all.
Well, it's not, and it's not permanent either. So once your income drops, the good news is that you've locked in that bigger Social Security benefit for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're married, your spouse will get that, too, if something happens to you. And the bad part is that you earn so much money that your Medicare premiums are high, but they will go down.
I just have to find out what that – I have to find out what that amount is so I don't take that much out next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have the ability to do some actual cash flow planning for on the taxable income, then that's certainly the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All righty.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good question, Kenny. Appreciate it. I'm sure that it will confuse some more people. And
and actually, I have a little reference guide here that I'm looking at. And so if you're married filing jointly and you earn under $170,000, you're going to pay $134 for the Part B, and it can go all the way up to $428 a month for Part B if you earn over $320,000. So that's a pretty big range there, depending on how much income you actually take out. So that's definitely going to affect your Social Security benefit. Because like we said, the Medicare premiums are deducted directly from Social Security once you're on both programs.
So. And a lot of people think that by earning income from tax-free investments, they're in the clear. But as far as Social Security and the associated Medicare goes, earnings from tax-free investments are included in the calculations.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, if you want Kenny's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Let's go out to Cocoa Beach. Talk to Steve. You're up next with the Certified Financial Group. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Yeah, I'm a permanent resident of New York State and been coming to Florida for the last 4 or 5 years during the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at purchasing a condo in Florida. And I think I heard something about the tax law changes for next year affecting a second home residence.
Yep.
But I'm not sure what those actually are.
Well, you cannot. So you used to be able to deduct the interest on a mortgage if you took out a second mortgage on your primary home in order to buy a second residence. But I don't
–
all those rules went away. Basically, the only thing that you can deduct now is mortgage interest on your primary residence. But if you are going to buy a rental property, you're going to be able to take the expenses from that mortgage and write it off against the income that you're earning on the rental. So it's a whole different – it depends on what the purpose of that second home is for.
Is it going to be your residence alone, or are you going to rent it out when you're not here?
Well, that's what we were wondering. If we rent it out here, how many months of rental do we need to do?
Well, you can do any month of rental that you want. I mean, there's not.
So it could just be 1 month of rental, and that would be considered then rental property.
Well, if you had the income, but you're going to have to file the rental income against that, and then you'd have the
expense
against it as well.
And if you only have 1 month of rental income, it's not going to probably be enough to help you as far as your taxes go.
Okay.
I will tell you to keep copious records.
Yep. Yeah, we've done this once before, but I just wasn't sure how the new tax laws affect everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, just from the federal, from regular taxes, though, the only interest that you can now write off is on your primary residence. And people used to be able to itemize their deductions and include that with their charitable giving and all that stuff to itemize. But now, because the standard deduction is so large, a lot of people aren't even going to be able to itemize their interest or their charitable giving. So, which is a good thing.
And I think the maximum deduction now is $10,000 with state income tax and property tax. Is that correct?
Well, for New York, you have the SALT limitations, which is the $10,000.
Yes.
It's a little bit different than down here in Florida because we don't have the state income tax.
Yeah. If you ever change your residency, it may be a little bit different for you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All
bye-bye.
Right, Steve. If you would like Steve's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Let's go to Carol in Wildwood. Carol, you're on the Certified Financial Group.
Hi, Carol.
Hi there. I have a question about Social Security.
Okay.
Both of my husband and I are in our 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when my father died, my mother got all of his and half of hers and half of his. Does it still work that way, or is it different if he should die before me?
Sadly, it does not work that way anymore. What happens is, Social Security will look at your benefit versus the survivor benefit.
Yes.
Is your husband getting more than you are right now?
Yes.
Okay, so what you'll do is you'll step up to his full benefit.
And lose mine?
Correct.
Technically, the way they do it is you continue to get your benefit, but then they pay you an extra amount to get up to what his benefit was.
So instead of getting two Social Security checks a month, you will only receive one, but it will be for the higher amount.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that make,
you're
okay.
welcome.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
bye
now. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
All right. Bye, Carol. Everybody was going
to
see something.
No, that's okay. I wanted to circle back on Steve's question too, and Joe has actually just sent me a text about that. He's gonna, if he wants to use that as a rental property, he is gonna be limited to how much he can actually use it as well. There are limitations, personal use limitations.
Yeah, there's so many days out of the year or so many days a month for personal use. I don't recall what it is either.
We'll do some research during the next
break.
So
they count the days when you can use it and when you can rent it out?
Yep.
Right, right.
Interesting.
Well, it's for personal use versus how many times you're renting it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that there was a cap on that. I did not know that.
The personal use is limited to maintain the status as a rental property.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, if you have a question for the panel, it's 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. And I tried this 30 minutes ago. Let's see how much success I have now. Before we go to the three big things you need to know, what are the workshops coming up, guys?
All right. So at our offices at 1111 Douglas Avenue, which is in Altamont Springs, right off the corner of 434 and Douglas, which is right there kind of by 4 and 434. The next workshop actually is going to be January 19th, and that's hosted by Gary Abley, again, in our office. And that one's going to be the Financial Basics for Life, Strategies for Success. And that runs from 9 to 11. There will be light refreshments served at that one. And then the ever-popular healthcare options in retirement, which really fills up quickly. So if that's something that you are getting close to retirement or age 65 and you want to talk about Medicare and you want to talk about long-term care and all those different things that you may have to be making decisions about here in the short term, that is February 16th, 2019, so it's next year, again, 9 to 11, healthcare options in retirement, and then the next one after that is an April countdown to retirement, so getting ready to retire, that one's April 13th, again, in our office. All of these workshops are on our website, financialgroup.com. Across the top, we have workshops and events. Click on the workshops tab, scroll down, you can sign up right there, find out more information, everything you want to know about the workshops at our office. So Gary hosts all of those. And again, the big one is the healthcare options and retirement, but all the other ones are really
informative
as well.
I have clients that have already signed up for that February workshop. So if you have any inkling of interest, make your reservations now.
All right. Just like that. Again, financialgroup.com. We will continue to plan tomorrow.
Today.
Right after we get the three big things you need to know.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is All the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.
We have to hear this whole song.
Right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Special request from the Nancy Heck.
Yeah, we got Game Day on in the background. That's where they are.
And yes, in case you don't know what this is, Nancy, what are we listening to?
We are listening to the Michigan Fight Song. The Michigan Fight Song.
Cool.
Tell to the victors.
Does that mean, Aaron, you are an Ohio State fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Does that mean I got to play the Ohio State theme?
No, there's not enough time.
Oh, no.
We got some calls we got to get to. Back to work. Come on, Kyle.
Before we get back to work here, let's revisit the question or we had comment we had
from
Steve.
All right, so Steve was asking about rental property in Cocoa Beach, and Aaron and I knew that there was something to do with personal use of the property. So in order to maintain the tax status of it being rental property, Steve can use it either 14 days or 10%
of the total days that it's rented.
Whichever is greater.
Right.
So if you're renting it for 300 days, then you could use personal use for 30 days and still be able to potentially, depending on how they are as far as the new tax laws go.
Right.
There you go, Steve.
All right. All right. Before we get back to the phone lines here, just want to tell everybody you can text to 21232. Let's go to Mike, who has a follow-up question. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
The last Social Security question triggered something about a situation I have. It's, it's my stepmother and my father. My father passed away in March of this year. Mm-hmm. He was 65. My stepmother, she's 65 as well, but she still works full time.
Mm-hmm.
He was collecting Social Security since he started at 62. So it was a small amount, but it was still something. When my stepmother went to the Social Security office to say, well, my husband passed and what are my options? They said she could not receive his Social Security because hers is technically more, even though she hadn't started receiving the benefit yet.
Right.
And I thought that was odd. And I haven't talked to anybody about it. I may not have all the details, but I'm just curious what the stipulations might be and what her best course of action is because I think she got bad advice from the Social Security office.
Well, I know from personal experience, my dad was 50 when he passed. My mom was 48. She had to wait until she was 60 to get a reduced survivor's benefit because she had not reached full retirement age. So I'm wondering what is full retirement age for your stepmother. That may have some impact on how much she can receive as a survivor's benefit. And when
she is 65 now, so yeah. I think full retirement age, that would be part of the Social Security formula. I think she might have said 68 in 10 months. Some of those numbers are slowly coming back to me.
Mike, what I want you to do is I want you to email our office, and I want you to get the birth dates of your father and your stepmother and their primary insurance amounts. So the amount, you can just tell us what your father was receiving, and then what your stepmother would receive if she waited till 66. We'll run a full analysis for you and tell you the best way to approach it.
Yeah, 65 may not be full retirement age for her.
Okay. Well, I know her benefit would be more than the one he started receiving.
Mm-hmm.
She just had a bit more income, better books. He was self-employed, and then
right.
there was probably a lot of income that didn't get through the system because he was only getting about $800 when he started getting it at 62. Hers is going to be significantly more.
Uh-huh.
But what my thought was she should receive his benefit until she decides to fully retire.
And let hers defer. Yeah.
And then when she retires, it would get up to the amount that she was entitled to normally.
Yep.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, thanks so much for the call. We are up against the clock. You've got 20 seconds left. Real briefly, everybody, what's the best number to reach at?
Go to the website, financialgroup.com. Go to the website, financialgroup.com. Mike, send us that info, and we'll do the analysis for you. And I hope everyone has a restful weekend.
Go big blue. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of On the Money. We'll be back here next Saturday, 9 o'clock, with the Certified Financial Planners, where we will continue to plan tomorrow.
Today.
On WDBO.